Welcome to BrandonVaught.com, where today I'm interviewing Patrick Madrid. Patrick is a well-known Catholic writer, speaker, and apologist. He's the host of numerous shows on EWTN television and radio. Patrick has written and or edited numerous books, including Pope Fiction, Where Is That in the Bible?, and his immensely popular Surprised by Truth series of conversion stories. Just recently, Patrick launched his own radio show, which is called Right Here, Right Now, and it can be heard every weekday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. I'm actually filming this introduction to our interview a little bit after our actual interview, because due to a glitch in the video, the first couple questions got removed from our video. And so Patrick's answers to those two questions can be found transcribed in the blog post where this video is embedded. If you're watching this on YouTube, just go to BrandonVaught.com/Madrid and you'll find those two questions. But with that, let's dive right into the middle of my interview with Patrick Madrid. Now, one thing that I've long admired about you is your charity, your kind and compassionate tone whenever you're engaged in apologetics. You know, whenever I hear you on radio shows like Catholic Answers Live, the Open Line program, or your new show, Right Here, Right Now, you always welcome questions or objections very kindly. It reminds me a lot of St. Thomas Aquinas, who in his Summa dealt with every objection, regardless of how crazy or ludicrous it seemed. He still respected and honored each objection with a kind and clear answer. What would you say are some keys for Catholics who are sharing and defending their faith and want to do so more calmly and charitably?
Yeah, it's a challenge for all of us. We all have that normal human reaction to become irritated when somebody says something that is insulting or belligerent to our ears, especially if it's something critical of the Catholic Church that we love. I should admit that even though my exterior demeanor might appear calm and unruffled, it doesn't necessarily mean that I feel that way emotionally on the inside. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I try to make a habit of, as best I can, showing the other person that kind of sense of calm and patience and charity, so that I won't drive him or her away by giving them a sourpuss attitude. I also find that when it comes to our natural human reaction to get angry or to get worked up and tempted to become as belligerent or as obnoxious as the other person, that's, for me at least, a great time to remember that I'm here because God has some service in mind for me to render to this person. I can speak about the truth, I can maybe encourage or assist or something like that, and none of that will go very far if I'm doing it with an angry look on my face or with a harsh tone in my voice. The third thing would be that we all have to keep in mind that we personally all want people to be patient with us. We want people to overlook our tendencies to be foolish or ridiculous at times. And we also want God to be patient with us and to help us along, even though we're sometimes dense and thick-headed. So because we want that from other people and we want that from God, as Jesus himself said, we should show them the same kind of treatment that we ourselves would want. Some techniques. I find that when I'm having a conversation with somebody and it's getting tense or it's getting potentially explosive, I just start praying for the other person. I'll try to listen to what he's saying. And, you know, this is one of those things where we can multitask pretty easily. As the person's talking, we can still listen and process, but at the same time be praying, Lord, help me to say only what you would like me to say. Help me to say it in the way that is most appropriate for this person. And I pray for this person, too, that his mind will be open and receptive, and not only that I will have the right words to say, but that he will have the right disposition to hear those words. So that helps an awful lot. And then the last thing I would suggest would be to practice. It is one thing to hear the theory or to know about it, think about it, but it's another thing altogether to actually do it. So the more we engage in conversations and the more we make a conscious effort to remain calm and to remain charitable, the better we'll get at it. And I think it's really a matter of trial and error and practice.
In 2010, you co-wrote a book with Kenneth Hensley titled The Godless Delusion. And it was kind of your response to the so-called new atheism propagated by people like Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and the late Christopher Hitchens. What should Catholics know about the new atheism, and how can they refute it?
What should they know about it? I would start with the fact that it's a bankrupt ideology. It's philosophically untenable. It is rationally empty. And it is utterly inconsistent with reality as we know it. That would be where I would start. We certainly say as much in the book, The Godless Delusion, Kenneth Hensley and I do. The new atheism is not really new in the sense that the denial of God is as old as the hills. So it's what's new about it is that, number one, you've got new faces, and you've got a new kind of muscular, militant brand of atheism that doesn't seek merely to just make its case that this is why I personally believe that God doesn't exist. The new atheists are new insofar as it's actually an evangelical crusade on their part. Rather than spreading the good news, they're spreading the bad news. So evangelical may not be exactly the right word, but they're on a mission, and they want to make converts, and they want to heckle and intimidate and make fun of believers. And they hope that not only will they be able to convince the onlookers that believing in God is a ridiculous thing to do, and even dangerous. That's one of the main arguments that people like Christopher Hitchens used to make, God rest his soul. He would argue that religion is the root of evil and violence, and the things that stem from this evil, so-called, in religion, are positive, they're actual negatives that we should try to eradicate, and the best way to eradicate them is to eradicate religion. So that's new. This is a new kind of face of atheism, and the militancy, I think, is what I find the most alarming. It wouldn't be so bad if atheists just were, you know, smug in their condescension and laughed at the people who believed in God, but they're actually now actively, aggressively trying to convert them. So that's another thing I would point out. Maybe finally, I would also add that no Catholic needs to fear any argument from any atheist, especially those that are based upon science. And as we talk about in the book, I'm personally speaking, I'm very grateful for scientists. I love science. I love scientists. I like living in the era of Advil and air conditioning. You know, I would much rather live today with all the scientific achievements that we have than 100 years ago. So never let it be said that Patrick Madrid does not highly value and even extol the virtues of science. But for somebody to claim that God doesn't exist and it can be proved that God doesn't exist on the basis of science, that's like hitting the bullseye on the wrong target. Because science and religion, or science and faith, science and whether or not God exists, are in two separate spheres, two separate categories. And an analogy that I've used many times before, Brandon, is to say that if I were to presume to get up in front of a large audience of scientists and tell them that I was going to demonstrate that there is life on Mars, and I was going to prove it on the basis of Spanish grammar rules, or I was going to prove it on the basis of, cooking recipes, they would laugh me out of the room, because whether or not I know all the Spanish grammar rules and whether or not I can speak Spanish fluently is utterly irrelevant to whether or not there's life on Mars. The one has nothing to do with the other. And so the point we make, to kind of bring this to a conclusion, the point we make in The Godless Delusion is that the question of whether or not God exists, that's a philosophical question. So biologists and astrophysicists and chemists and, you know, zoologists, in the case of Richard Dawkins, they are utterly incompetent to use science as any sort of measurement to determine whether or not God exists. There's plenty more to say, but that's one of our primary theses that we bring to the fore in the book, The Godless Delusion.
Great. And if you're a Catholic or a theist of any bend, I highly recommend Patrick's book called The Godless Delusion. Now, Patrick, let's close with one final question. I'm a self-admitted bibliophile, and I know you've told me before that you love books. I think between the two of us, we could probably have our own library with the books behind us and the books behind you. What would you say, outside of the Bible and the Catechism, are the must-read books on Catholic apologetics?
Well, I think no list would be complete without the Summa Theologiae of St. Thomas Aquinas. It's a ponderous series of volumes, And it's mainly ponderous because it's written in a style and in a certain language that we're not very familiar with these days. I'm talking about the English translation. It's just ordered in a way that's different from what people are used to. But St. Thomas, believe it or not, he wrote this series of teachings in the Summa as an introduction for the average Christian. It was just an introduction to philosophy and religion. And that makes me, you know, curl up with embarrassment when I think that for him that was an introduction. But people today are still plumbing its depths. So he offers a wide range of foundational apologetics. But if you want books from the modern era, I would suggest I would start first of all with Frank Sheed's Theology and Sanity, which is also foundational in the sense that it gives people the big picture, the big concepts. How can we know that God exists? How can we know what the difference is between spirit and matter? And then once we have those foundational building blocks in place, then it becomes easier not only to understand the other doctrines of the church, but to explain them more clearly and more effectively to others. I would definitely recommend Peter Kraft and Father Ron Tosselli's book, Handbook of Catholic Apologetics. I teach theology at Franciscan University as an adjunct professor, and that book is the primary textbook that we use in the course that I teach on apologetics. So I would certainly recommend that book to anyone else. There's so many other wonderful books on apologetics, and at this point I probably should not name any, because as soon as I start naming them, I'll think of 10 more and then 10 more and then 10 more. So I'm very, very happy and very grateful to see so many wonderful books on apologetics by so many excellent teachers of the faith in the last, say, 20, 30 years that have come out. So there's a lot to choose from.
Now, you're very humble, not to mention any of your own books, which are all excellent. And people can find your books, more info on your work and the radio show by going to where on the internet?
Probably the best place would be my website, patrickmadrid.com. What are the odds that I'd have, you know, the same name for my website as my actual name? It's patrickmadrid.com would be where they could find out about the books, debates, CDs, that sort of thing. Also, they could find out more about the radio show right here, right now. I'll just mention, if I may, that I'm on EWTN's Global Catholic Radio Network Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's not only carried on about 200 plus AM and FM stations around the United States, but it's also on channel 130 of XM Sirius Satellite Radio. And it's available via shortwave, on the internet, podcast. I mean, it's pretty much everywhere. So the show, again, right here, right now. And if they go to patrickmadrid.com, they can find out more about the show.
Excellent. And for more articles, interviews, book reviews, and more, check out my own website, brandonvaught.com. Thanks so much for tuning in.